The following recording is a presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Rohnert Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome your visit to our services anytime here in the Rohnert Park area.
Well, I'm going to continue a part of this study that I began actually about 6 weeks ago and haven't been able to get back to. I'm going to continue our look into the attributes of God. So I'm going to do a little bit more detailed review this morning of the first part, simply because it's been so long since we taught it, I barely remembered it myself. So we're going to take a look at that. When we first began our study into the attributes of God, we looked at number one, that God is self-existent. We read from Exodus chapter 3, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you for this time this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you just quiet us and help us to see you as you truly are. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which reveals you unto us. And help us today to look into that word and find the truth that we need to live a life that is an image bearer of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day. Now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already discussed the existence of God at great detail many times in our studies. But one of God's attributes is his self-existence. That is simply to say he exists because he exists. And I mentioned before, I enjoy watching it, I don't know, because it makes me so angry that men can be so stupid. But I enjoy watching this program, How the Universe Works. And I watch this program, and they talk about 15.5 billion years ago, and I laugh, I chuckle. But I've been hearing some things from these scientists that makes me say, well, why are you so stupid? Pardon me, my mother would wash my mouth out with soap for saying someone is stupid. But the Bible says they are. The Bible says professing themselves to be wise, they became as what? Fools. Yeah, the Bible says it themselves. So, but anyway, they're finally beginning to admit that there may not have been a Big Bang. There really may not have been. They're finding they can't prove the Big Bang. And of course they can't prove the Big Bang because their theory of the Big Bang didn't exist. And they say it's, and now they're saying, well, it's impossible to have a universe which came into existence from nothing. But that's exactly how the universe came into existence. From nothing. Ex nihilo, God created. Ex nihilo, which means from nothing. And there was nothing before God. And God created all things. So God, we know God is self-existent. He's not dependent upon anything or anyone. And we looked at some things. First, we said he wasn't dependent upon anything or anyone for his knowledge. Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? God's knowledge is, he's self-existent in his own knowledge. He doesn't depend on anyone or anything to know anything. Think about that. God didn't have to learn anything. He already knew it. He always knew everything. He's always known all things. He's known you from your end. He knows the end of your life from the beginning of your life. He knew you before you became a human, before you were created. He's self-existent in his knowledge. Who can teach the Lord? I tell you, I'd be intimidated. I'd be very intimidated this morning if Jesus Christ was sitting on this front row. I wouldn't stand up here to teach. What do I have to give you greater than he? I would step aside and say, Lord, you teach us because you have all knowledge. Who can give him counsel? Who's going to advise the Lord? But he doesn't need advice. He needs advice from no one because he's self-existent in his knowledge. He's self-existent in his will. Romans 9:19, thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? God's will cannot be resisted. Do you know that? You understand that? God's will cannot be resisted. The Lord said, my word will not return unto me void. When he sends it out, it does that for which he proclaimed. God's will cannot be defeated. That's one of the problems with the free will of man. The philosophy of the free will of man in salvation. Because if God is willing for man to be saved and man's will decides not to be saved, that means man's will supersedes God's will, and that's not possible. He's self-existent in his will. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God's will cannot be defeated. We see that he's self-existent in his power. In Psalm 115 and verse 3, we read, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that all power belongs to him. All the powers that be are given by Jesus, by God the Father. He is all power. The power to create the universe. The power to create man. The power to sustain all things. Yes, God is self-existent in his power. He depends on nothing else. And we're going to discuss in just a little while. He doesn't depend on us. He's self-existent, letter D, in his counsel. In Psalm chapter 33, verses 10 and 11, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So we see that God exists because he exists. He said, I am that I am. And quite frankly, that's all I need to know. I can search for all of eternity and not discover the creation of God or the beginning of God, because God had no beginning. He had no beginning. He's always existed, and he exists because he exists, not because of anything else, but because of himself. He is in every way self-existent. But then I'd like to look today at number two. God is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. Now, there is many similarities between God's self-existence and his self-sufficiency, but they are two different things. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 10 through 12, we read, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. God is self-sufficient. Now, I'm going to give you a profound statement right now. You better write this down. God does not need us today. I'm giving you a moment to write it down. That's something you're going to need to know when the test comes around later. God doesn't need us. You know, you hear these TV evangelists, God needs you today. God doesn't need us. We need him. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to do anything. Do you understand that? He doesn't need me to do anything for him. What did he use to warn Balaam? Yeah. A donkey. Balaam kept beating his donkey and kicking his donkey because his donkey didn't want to go the way Balaam wanted to go, because the donkey had enough sense to know this wasn't the right thing to do. And finally, he got tired of it, and he got off his donkey, and he walked over to the front of him and slapped him right in the face. Donkey says, why are you hitting me? Whoa, that would be something, huh? I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd get back on that donkey. And God used the donkey to warn Balaam. He doesn't need us. God could get the gospel out without you and me. He could use the angels. He could use the birds in the sky. He could use fish in the ocean. He could do whatever he wants. God could do whatever, could use whatever he wanted to use to spread the gospel, but he has chosen to use us. He has given us the privilege of serving him. But he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. This isn't matter, this philosophy that God needs me is one of pride. It's man wanting to be so important that he is necessary for God to be happy. In Acts chapter 17, we wrote, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. As if, Paul wrote, as if he needs anything. It is a lie permeated by false teachers of today that God needs me. And this lie is made and it's used to make merchandise of us by stroking the arrogance of sinful man. Doesn't it make you feel good when people compliment you? Doesn't that make you feel good? Are you awake out there? Am I speaking a known language? Does it make you feel good when people compliment you? Maybe on the job, the boss will stand up in front of everyone and say, Jorge did a great job yesterday. I'm so thankful that Jorge works for us. And that makes you feel good, doesn't it, Jorge? Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah. Because deep down in this human heart, there's a little seed of pride. And we work real hard to keep that thing down. But sometimes people fan the flames of that pride. And we start to think and start to puffing up. It's about the only time my chest ever sticks out more than my stomach is. Yeah, pride. And that's what these false teachers do. They pump up your pride. They try to lift you up in pride. So that you'll give them your money and you'll give them. It's amazing what men will pay for. It really is. Men pay for lies. They pay to be lied to rather than told the truth. They're not flocking in here throwing all of their money in the offering plate, are they? Because we preach the truth and we preach hell and we preach damnation. They don't want to hear that. Oh boy, though. They just pour the money into these false teachers who talk about how much God needs you and how great you are and all these things. But be warned today. Do not be deceived by pride. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the psalmist writes, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Be careful. Be careful when you find pride in your life, because that pride is going to lead you to a fall. That pride is going to lead you to damnation. You better get it under control. God resists the proud. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God resists a proud man. Now, there's some things we should be proud of today. We should be proud to be a child of God. We should be proud to be an American. I am. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be in Abshire. I'm proud of my father and my family name. I'm proud to be in Abshire. I don't apologize for that. And I strive in my life to bear the good testimony and image of my father. I strive to bear that forward. Brian's father just popped into my mind. One of the nicest men I've ever known. And I see a lot of Brian in his father. And we go forward in this life. And I'm not stroking your pride, by the way, bro. But we go forward in life. We should be proud of that. Brian should be proud to have it said that he's an image of his father. Those things we should be proud of, but we shouldn't be proud of what we do or what we can do, because what we can do comes from the Father. So we should be proud of our relationship with God in all things. But we need to be careful for pride. Pride will destroy you. And God resists that, but he gives more grace. He exalts the humble and lifts them up. And in this we should bear the image of God. In the self-sufficiency, let us learn to find our sufficiency in God and God alone. God is self-sufficient in himself, but not me. I'm not self-sufficient in myself. But I am sufficient. I have full sufficiency in God the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Let's look at that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Oh yeah, trust not in silver or gold. Too many people believe that they can't be sufficient unless they have lots of money. But you need to be aware of the fact that our sufficiency is in our relationship to the Father. That alone is sufficient. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, our faith, our relationship with the Lord, our life in Christ is of more worth and more value than silver or gold. And if that's true, then why are so many supposed Christian people forsaking the Lord for money? Because they don't find sufficiency in God. God and God alone doesn't make them happy. They need to have the gold and silver. We need to not trust in those things. Don't trust in the strength of your days. Some people just Think they're going to live, they live like they're going to live forever. In in James chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Oh, don't trust in the strength of your days. Huh? Yeah, James said, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, we'll buy or sell. We'll go here, we'll go there, we'll do this, we'll do that. Really? You know, I learned many years ago to say, "Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow." People say, "See you tomorrow." And I'll tell them. Even at work, they'll do that. They'll say, "See you tomorrow, Dalton." I'll say, "Well, Lord willing, yeah. If I'm not dead, I'll be here." But we're not happy in God alone. And we worry so much about our life, about this life. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be in a lot of pain and suffering. But if that's what happens, then so be it. Because my joy is not found in whether or not I'm healthy. Now, Lord, don't test me here, okay? I mean, I'm not bragging, Lord. Please, don't test me here. But my happiness isn't wrapped up in my health. My happiness is wrapped up in God and God alone. We need to get our minds focused on Christ, on the Father, and not think linearly, but think vertically. Think of the joy and the fact that we are all sufficient in God alone. God, listen, God has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. God has promised to provide all that I need. Now, I've said before, that doesn't mean that God's going to shower ribeye steaks on me or lobster. It might be bologna. Yeah, and you know, like the guy said, you know, when I grew up, my bologna had no first name. God is going to take care of us. Question is, do we appreciate what he gives us? Are we happy with what we receive from the Lord, or do we need more? That's the real question. I said already, God used Balaam's donkey. God spoke, and the world came into existence. And God speaks, and our life on earth is over. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh yes, we can show God's attribute of self-sufficiency by living a life of faith. Finding contentment in God's grace and in God alone. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul writes, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, I'm not sure if Paul would have been content in the state of California, but that's not what he's talking about anyway. Paul is saying, whether I'm rich or whether I'm in poverty, whether I'm arrayed lavishly or whether I'm destitute and naked, whether I'm healthy and vibrant or whether I'm suffering and dying, whatever state I'm in, Paul said, I'm content. And why? Why was Paul content? He was content because God was all he needed. He was sufficient with Christ. We should take, for our example, Job. Turn with me to Job chapter 1, if you would. Not too far from Proverbs. Job chapter 1. We'll go to verse, let's see. Let's start at verse number 13. We read there, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So this is quite a day Job is having. I mean, he's lost everything. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. I mean, he's in dire straits here. So is he gonna? What's he gonna do? I mean, what would you do in that situation? If you were just sitting there having breakfast, and all these people started coming in your house, giving you these stories of great disaster of all of your possessions. I don't know how I would react. I really don't. I don't know what I would do. I hope I would behave like Job, but I don't know. But then look at verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. That's pretty incredible to me. You know, that's how could Job do all that? Because God was all he needed. Job, you know what? Job didn't need all those camels. He didn't need all that sheep. He didn't need all that. God gave him those things. But Job didn't need them to be happy, because all Job needed to be happy was the Lord. You know, that's a lesson we need to learn. Because in America today, we're lazy and we're thankless. People don't like to hear it. I say that all the time to people. They don't like to hear it. Sometimes I'm having conversations with people at work, and I tell them those very things. We're lazy. People are lazy and thankless. Oh, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. Well, you can believe it if you want. You can deny it if you want. But it's true. It's true. Job said, I love what he said, "The Lord giveth, The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, you know what? Right now you might be living pretty well. You might have a decent income. You might have a nice home. You might drive a good car. You might have a big savings account, and everything might be going really well. But you know, just like that, it can all be gone. How happy are you going to be then? Are you going to be able to stand up and say, "Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Whew, I wish I could say that would be me. I hope that would be me. I would want that to be me. And I strive to live my life so that that would be me. But in here resides every wicked imagination possible. And I don't care who you are here this morning. You might think you're immune, but every wicked imagination known to man resides in our heart. And the only thing that keeps it under control is the Holy Spirit of God. And if we do not humble ourselves in the sight of God, if we do not humble ourselves before Him and find our sufficiency in Him, it's going to make its way out. And it'll corrupt and destroy us. Job did not question God or His plan. He simply trusted God. He found sufficiency in God and God's will. And to further, then Satan came to God and said, he's still praising you because all we did is take away his things, but take away his health, and he will curse you to your face. And God told Satan, go ahead and take his health, but you can't have his life. And Satan afflicted Job. And all Job's friends, even Job's wife, came to him and said, what are you doing? Curse God and die. Wow, that's quite a wife. Curse God and die, she told Job. And Job's response was, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh yes, Job found sufficiency in God. All he needed was God. And as long as he knew he had God, he had all he needed. He had all he needed. And believe me, I've said this at weddings before. When you get to the place where God is all you have, you're going to learn that God is all you need. And I hope none of us in this room ever reach that point. But if we do, then we need to remember that. All we need is God. Because this life is not the end. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shores. And I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. I cherish my life. I cherish my relationship with my wife and the time that I can spend with her. I cherish my children. Last night, my entire family was together at my house, and I cooked a meal, and we all sat around the table, and we reminisced about years past, and we laughed, and we had a good time together. I cherish that. I cherish my grandchildren. Oh, how I cherish my grandchildren. My son looks at me sometimes and says, Dad, why didn't you treat us that way? I said, because I had a responsibility to raise you. I don't have a responsibility to raise these. My job is to spoil these. I cherish all those things, but you know what? I got nothing holding me to this earth. Nothing to this life. Nothing to this world. God is all I need. He is my sufficiency. And I hope he's yours too. All right, folks. Well, thank you for listening this morning. I hope my thoughts and the scripture was able to help you. Thank you for being here, and you are dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Berean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roanoke Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us on the World Wide Web at www.bebaptist.org.